up, though. Definitely appreciate that. Okay, let me reset the repeater. Okay, calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet for Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the in Groton, Connecticut. I'm going to be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed amateur radio operators are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It is also available on Echolink. Look for W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1, Delta X-Ray-Romeo. If needed, the secondary repeater would be the 146.67 repeater, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is for two things. Number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Secondly, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset my mouth and the repeater.
Six Papa Delta Golf Kevin in Norwich. No questions yet.
This is Kilo One Delta Charlie Tango Dave in Preston. No questions yet.
Here is a Whiskey One Romeo Papa Queen Bob in Oakdale. No questions.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1, Gulf Quebec Zulu, Dan in Montville, no questions.
Here is November Kilo 1, Victor, Steve Coventry, no questions yet. Sierra
Papa X-ray. Chuck in Hannibal, Missouri. No questions.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We have John, who's mobile, WNJOP, Kevin, KA6DDG, Dave, K1DCT, W1RPQ, Dan, KC1GQZ, Steve, NK1B, and Chuck, N1SPX. Any further check-ins at this time, please call now.
Tim, well, that's actually an excellent topic. I was kind of sitting here going, what are we going to talk about? And I almost need to put my thoughts together a little more, having just woken up from a nap about 10 minutes before the nap. But I did write down a couple of quickies. I personally think radio clubs are great. They're a great concept. They're a great idea. Most of them do good things. As far as why would you have a radio club and that sort of question, I guess for any purpose where two or more people, there's power in numbers, or if you want to think about when two or more are gathered, if you choose to think of it that way. But any situation where there's power in numbers and you can accomplish more by combining people of similar interests. So that could be socializing. It's fun to socialize with our spouse or our best friend or whatever, but sometimes it's nice to be in a group of people with that you share things in common with and have a meal or play some golf or drink a beer or whatever the group slash club decides to do. Or maybe do some learning. Radio clubs obviously do that. Or maybe there's a project or a mission So any place where it's good to have 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 people or more gathered together for some sort of purpose or betterment. Let me reset. And the other note I made, because you posed an interesting question about what could radio clubs do that maybe they don't currently, or maybe a lot of them don't think about doing. And I just came up with one sort of off the cuff. A lot of times radio clubs do have special programs, maybe after the business meeting, maybe before, maybe on a different night. And they do half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour of training or teaching or showing slides or some type of program, some type of thing, if you will. You like that? I used the word thing. One thing that might be interesting for clubs when they don't have time to do that, maybe it's just a business meeting night, or maybe at every club meeting, have tidbits. A tidbit or a tip bit, would be just a very short, like 60-second training. Maybe you'd start every club meeting or you'd close every club meeting with a tip bit. And somebody in the club who's appointed by the president would just stand up for 60 seconds, no more, and just give a little reminder about something having to do with FCC rules or something having to do with amateur radio practice or technical excellence, that kind of thing. K6PDG, I didn't think I was going to talk that long. Back to Nat.
Okay, very good comments there, Kevin. Very good indeed. Good suggestions. Okay, let's move on to Dave. See what his comments may be about amateur radio clubs. WK1DCT, KC1TWR.
Hi, well, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Let's see, radio clubs. There was a time in the days of yore when I belonged to all three of the local radio clubs, Scrams, Raison, and Tri-City, and would go to all the meetings. In fact, served as president in Scrams for a number of years in the 90s. And it was a good group. I mean, you know, and along the lines that Kevin was talking about, yeah, you got to talk with people, and maybe there wasn't anything formal. Sometimes there was. But, you know, you could consult with people that in person that maybe you respected their knowledge. You know, maybe you pick up another Elmer, because I think along the way I had several different Elmers. One got me started, and then one, you know, I picked up another one along the way that led me in a different direction. So, certainly a good place for that. And then as the years went on, I, you know, started dropping them, you know. And I think the last one I belonged to was Raison. And that was also, you know, into the 90s. Actually, I was probably president of Scrams back in the 80s. Going back, turning back the hands of time. Was in Raison for probably the longest, and I might have had a lapse in there too, where I just forgot to pay the dues or whatever, but was on the Raison Tech Committee. Let me, as Kevin would say, let me take a bite. So, and then I kind of got burnt out on that, and that's a whole nother story I won't go into here. But I eventually drifted away from all the clubs. I wasn't happy with how things were going, or the people, some of them, the people I was really friendly with, they moved on, drifted away. But recently I have shown a little interest in this, and in fact I already submitted my application to join Raycon, and I have a fresh application for Tri-City on my desk. So I'm starting to, the cycle's coming back around again. So hopefully this year we'll support some of that stuff and get back and, maybe learn some things, maybe teach some things. I certainly don't know everything there is to know about this hobby, but certainly willing to share whatever, whatever I know. You could probably write on the head of a needle, head of a pin, I should say, in capital letters, but I'm willing to share it. So back to net, K1DCT.
Connected, N1SPX.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Very good information. And, nothing says you have to only belong to one club. Each club has their own individuals, their own way of operating, and their own way of providing support to the local amateur radio community. Sometimes clubs overlap. They can have multiple clubs providing certain things, and that's good. The more, the better. And certainly, Dave, you've been very attending quite a few of the nets, and it's been very enjoyable. Okay, before we go any further, I'd like to do another call out. If there's anybody else that would like to join the list of attendees here on the Tips Net, please come now with your call sign.
Will be setting up for field day. It's a nice spot, top of
Dove Hill. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be a lot more to follow on that in the future. And the second is an update on my oak log periodic. This Saturday, I was able to get it up on a new fiberglass push-up mast that I had. It was about 20 feet in the air, and I was able to have a simplex contact with a gentleman in Waltham, Massachusetts, about 87 miles away on 5-2. So very happy with the performance of the log periodic antenna at this point. Definitely will be getting out more with that and trying to see what kind of distances I can get set up now. And that's all I have for this round, so let me send it back to Net Control. This is W1RPQ.
Okay, thank you, Bob. That's quite a bit of good information. And getting back to something David mentioned earlier, and that's the fact that for presentations within each of the clubs, when they do give a presentation, a person does not need to be the master, know-all, and all of knowledge on that subject. We have so many new hams and people who maybe are experienced hams, but not in that particular aspect of amateur radio. So even if you're just a moderately well-informed on a particular subject, that'll do, and it'll help spread the knowledge. Okay, let's move on to Dan. See what he thinks about amateur radio clubs or what thoughts he may have or experiences. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is KC1GQZ. Well, I don't have much experience with clubs. I did join Raycon back in December last year. Fortunately, you know, with the pandemic, I have not met anybody. So I am looking forward to when the meetings start up in person so that I can actually go and meet everybody face to face. But the reason I joined the clubs was, number one, to help the local club, you know, financially, and to look for all the experience you guys bring to this. Trying to get some information. I mean, I don't have a lot of information, so I'm reaching out. We'll be reaching out for assistance. So that's all I have. This is KC1GQZ, back to Net Control.
Okay, very good, Dan. You're the counterpoise to some of the other people who have checked in and said the number of clubs and how long ago they've been a member of the clubs, and we need the counterpoise of someone who's fairly new and just starting to get involved with clubs. So that's good. And yes, and Raycon, seeing as that's the one you joined, is going to have their field day up at the Zagre Farm up in, I've forgotten the town it's in. I think it's north of Norwich. But anyhow, that's what they'll be talking about at the next Raycon meeting, I'm sure. Okay, let's move on to Steve. See what his thoughts are on amateur radio clubs in K1V, KC1TWR.
NK1V. Yeah, good topic, Tim. I was kind of actually thinking about that this evening while I was had a busy day, but I was sorting through some stuff. Saw some emails. Amateur radio clubs, yeah, if it wasn't for clubs like the Hop River Radio Club, which is a very small and still together club, haven't done much with the pandemic, but they had a class, as many clubs do, for to get, you know, your tech license and all that stuff, and I'd gone to that, and as a group, as a club, I was strongly encouraged to go on to take the general at the same time, you know, and some of that was thrown in, and of course I had to do a lot of work myself on that, and then obviously when I took the tech and I did pass the general, and I was recruited into the club, and that became part of, you know, we do a lot of things. It's like a lot of clubs, you know, and some has already been mentioned, you know, it's nice to be able to throw ideas out and practice things, you know, and you know, different and can pull all that together. So also, let me reset. So oddly enough, I am a member of the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. I am a member of the Hop River Radio Club. I am also a member of a club in Newfoundland, the Society of Newfoundland Radio Operators, which is an interesting story. And the reason why I stay a member, at least for now, is that's where my wife is from. And I have actually visited Signal Hill five, maybe six times, Cabot Tower and stuff, and saw the station and such, and was not an amateur radio operator and didn't really understand what was going on there. And now that I'm licensed and we haven't been up there in a while because we're going to try and think about something this year, but with the pandemic, it's probably not going to happen. But I want to support them because they've done a tremendous amount of work, which is what club dues and so much go to. They've done a tremendous amount of work to that station on Cabot Tower, and they do a lot of work with that. So I want to contribute to that because if and when I do get back up there, I definitely want to operate that station. And it does happen to be within a National Historic Park, and it's just a very amazing place to me that I didn't really know about originally. And I do now. And so, yeah, it's kind of interesting. And the Zoom meetings are kind of something that I like. Let me reset. I do like to know what's going on in any clubs, and if the timing's right, it's kind of a new facet to being a member, because I do like getting involved in activities like fox hunts and projects and even things related to public service and stuff. I'm not a big fan of hanging around at a meeting for an hour and a half and all kinds of opinions bouncing back and forth and so on. So the concept of being able to find out what's going on through like Zoom and emails and stuff like that, and then be there to help out when it's needed is kind of cool thing. So that's enough for me. Back to Nat. And actually, I want to say hi to Chuck because I haven't heard from him in a long time, and I believe he's next. But back to you, Tim, and QMB.
The echoing transmitter timing out. Anyhow,
Let's see, as far as ham radio clubs go, well, I'm the vice president of the North American Kilowatt Club. The president happens to be on the net as well. But that notwithstanding, let's see. So we've been talking about clubs that are based on geography, or local geography, local clubs. There are other clubs, and the North American Kilowatt Club is a good example of this, who are interest-based, shall we say. They gather together people of a certain interest. Like, for example, Bob happened to make me laugh because he mentioned Greek radio, so even though he's only been a ham for a few years, of course, Greeks predate me as well, but not nearly by as much. Our North American Kilowatt Club, our mission statement includes a respect for the heritage, cultures, and resources of North America. So we have a separate, we have an interest-based group. There's a Greek club, there's a Harley-Davidson club, Harley-Davidson Ham Radio Club. Why? But they do, and they have I think they used to have a HFNet once a week or something like that on the weekend. There's all sorts of groups like that that are interest based. So if that tweaks your fancy and you happen to align well with one of those groups, they do different things. They, besides promoting fellowships like local clubs do, they promote the North American Kilowatt Club has produced an event before, and we're lining up a couple more for the next few years, special events, and we want to go to places, and obviously, as many of you know, I'm very active, and Kevin is when he can be, with Parks on the Air. So again, that dovetails nicely with our mission of reminding people about the resources and heritage of the United States and North America more broadly. We have members in three states, soon to be four. And that's my take on amateur radio clubs. Don't forget about the ones that aren't local. N1SPX, back to that.
Geographic area, there's those with the same interest in a particular facet. Bumblebee and everything in between, I think they're great, particularly if they're a group of like-minded individuals. And although it's best to have a mix, now that I think on it, that way you have some people that are good at running nets, some that are good at running equipment, some are great for organizing field days. It takes all kinds. Back to net, W1FJW.
All right, thanks, Tim. I'll make a super quick comment about follow-up on clubs, but I'll make it brief. One of the things, and thanks, Chuck, for talking and others about the different kinds of clubs, including the North American Kilowatt Club. As far as local area clubs, one of the benefits of joining, whether you're going to be an active member or maybe you're one of those who really doesn't like going to meetings or isn't inclined or doesn't have time to socialize or that kind of thing, one of the things that is beneficial is if it's a club that maintains a repeater or two or three, then you're sort of helping out with that too, because believe it or not, repeaters can be very expensive to maintain. And I don't know of any club that's going to say, well, you're not a member, you can't use our repeater. That's not something we do on ham radio, because we can transmit on whatever frequency we want, quote unquote, in the amateur band. But it's a nice, good thing to do, is if you're going to be using repeaters a lot, think about, you know, most clubs, your dues are very, very reasonable, and that way you're pitching in a little bit. Okay, let's go to Alex's question. Which I'm thinking is, what are the proper accepted intervals and maybe why when we're talking simplex 2 meters? And in most places, it's 15 kilohertz spacing. So you would go 146.52, which happens to be the calling channel, the calling frequency, rather. The 15 kilohertz up from that would be 146.5. Wait a minute, am I doing this right? 146.53. Yeah, 146.535, 146.550, etc. 15 kilohertz steps. That's what you'll find most hams, most communities using. Let's remember, though, that simplex, we are not channelized. Our frequency allocation by the FCC, on this band anyway, are not channelized. They are on the 60-meter band. Reset again. So, if you wish to have a QSO or a NAT or whatever it might be on 146.528, for example, you're perfectly legal in doing that as long as you're not causing interference to others. So the radio may be channelized, the bands other than 60 meters are not. So I guess, but if you have a large number of channels that you can program into that channelized radio, then you do the 15 kilohertz spacing idea, or you could do 5 or 10. You can do what you want with that, but 15 is sort of accepted. Hope I didn't confuse that point. KA6PDG, back to Nat.
Club, so
that's one of the reasons I decided to get, you know, just throw a little money at it. That's what you do. As far as helping new hams, I had a new ham mention to me that, geez, you know, I don't understand, you know, why, you know, everybody's not kind of, we'll call it busting. You know, like if you're a new apprentice on a job or the new kid in the office or, you know, somebody sending you to get a sky hook or a bucket of steam or, a cup full of milliamps or something. That will come with time. You know, when you're one of the crowd and everybody's talking, we will be after each other like a pack of wolves fighting for who's the alpha. But in the meantime, we want people to get into the club or into the hobby and be happy. Also along clubs, don't forget the league, ARRL. There's SKCC, the straight club, straight key century club, and PODX, PODXS, if you're into PSK stuff. And as far as what Alex asked about, Kevin's got it right. 15 kilohertz is the normal spacing, but nothing to say you can't have a simplex QSO on, like he said, 528 if you can get there, but most radios go 525, 53, 535. It's all perfectly acceptable. So as far as normal spacing and definitely repeater spacing, we want to go for a little wider than that just to eliminate interference. So I'm not sure that was crystal clear, but it's what I've got. Back to net, K1DCT.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dave. And not to scare anybody off, but once he was talking about going like a pack of wolves, it's still done in a good-natured way. It's just by that point you understand each other and you understand what kind of humor people like and so forth. So anyhow, let's move on to Bob and see if he has any further comments about clubs or if he has any further comments about Alex's question. W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is W1RPQ. Nothing really further on the clubs. I did do a quick check on the spacing, and in our area it is 15 kilohertz. Most radios have a 5 kilohertz step on them. But in several areas, like Texas and California, their spacing is 20 kilohertz. So you certainly want to find out what area you're going to be operating in and what their band plans call for. But right now I'm looking at listings for several areas, and it's either 15 or 20 at this point. Used to be 25, they reduced that down. So again, it's kind of where you're located as to what you're going to find. And that's it for me for this round. This is W1RPQ. Back to net.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And let's move on to Dan, see if he has any further comments about clubs or what other people have commented about clubs, or any further comments or any comment about the question about the simplex spacing. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is KC1GQZ. I have no more comments about the clubs, and I think Alex probably has got his answers from the last few individuals, so I'll just say 73. KC1GQZ, back to net control.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much answered about the spacing around here, 15 kilohertz. Most of my radios I have programmed with repeaters that I commonly use, and then I have a handful of the more common simplex channels, you know, spaced at 15. I have a HT that I bring with me in my backpack, a smaller one, a little Wusan that I, when I go either POTA or SOTA kind of thing, and I keep all of the at spaced at 15 and 20 kilohertz, which of course some of them overlap. I just have all the simplex commonly used channels in there just because it's handy, and sometimes if things are a little bit slow on the top of a hill somewhere, I can just let that scan, because you never really know what who's out there, especially if you got some elevation. That's always a handy tool. So yeah, pretty much just owned it. Back to that and K1B.
Section 2 with the announcements. Are there any additional check-ins or any additional comments? Please call now.
If you go to the Tri-City ARC webpage, you'll find a link starting tomorrow for both the monthly meeting and for the training that's coming up. So you can come and join us, anyone, and share it with your friends, please. W1RPQ, back to net.
Licensed or not, and that includes for Zoom.